And we're going to take calls next hour with Stephen Quayle, so you don't have to call now as we talk about little creatures. Also, he wrote a book called Genesis 6 Giants. We've got to talk with him about that, too, when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast, back with Stephen Quayle. And as I mentioned, we'll take your calls next hour. They love lining up to call you, Stephen. Happens all the time.
Well, I don't know. I'm glad that people are interested in this. Let me talk about fictional indoctrination, because you and I have addressed that with The Twilight Zone. And by the way, what a great series.
Loved it.
I'm going back, George, and watching all of them. Because if you remember, they had one, too, about on the airplane where they had the little demons on the wings.
The gremlins on the wings.
Yes, and gremlins are covered. By the way, this book is it's a treatise. It's 460-some pages long with enough footnotes to make a podiatrist happy, okay? I mean, the thing is footnoted because there's so much information. But I want to read something written by a guy, and this is really good, Alan Watts. And first of all, you and I have talked about, George, on Coast to Coast, that fiction is employed to indoctrinate cultures into new ways of thinking, okay? And 1984, great example. But here's what he says. Things or ideas which would otherwise be seen as bizarre, vulgar, undesirable, or impossible are inserted into films in the realm of fantasy. When the viewers watch these films, his or her mind is left open to suggestion, and the conditioning process begins. Wow, wow, wow. You can take all of fiction. I'm a fiction fan. The motion picture, the history of motion pictures, whether it's Dr. Nosferatu or some of the things, the early science fiction, it's fascinating, man, but it's a conditioning process. 1984, good night. Telepresence, now we're hearing Samsung say about their TVs, better watch what you're doing in front of our TVs.
We're watching you.
They're watching you. So what happens when you think you're watching it, it's watching you. So that's why the little creatures are so important. And I think, as you know, from past interviews we've done, I really have tried to do my homework, so to walk someone through, basically to let them draw their own conclusions, but they'll find out that the fairy tales and the childhood stories were far more malevolent and with a central theme. And, when you can control, again, a future generation by a present fear, you can mold that society. Here we are, 1984. Forgive me, it's not 1984, but all the warnings are there.
You're going back into time on us, Stephen.
Yep, and the time machine, In essence, I still believe that one of the most prominent science fiction movies ever saw was The Time Machine with Rod Taylor, because basically you had the Morlocks, and you had the Eloys, and obviously there were a lot of people that he was suggesting that the industrialists were the Morlocks, who the standard working class was the Eloy, but that's what I believe we're getting prepared for, and to serve man, George, is not just a Twilight Zone episode. It literally is coming to pass, because when you see the changing of our atmosphere, chemtrail, weather warfare, finally after all these years now, enough people are looking up saying, wow, those aren't contrails, they're chemical trails. But the point being is everything is changing. The weather's changing. I believe it's being manipulated. Obviously, we're seeing strange events, the West Coast burning up and the East Coast freezing in its tracks.
Yeah.
So fictional indoctrination, it's really, really important that people understand this. They can get my books on my website. And by the way, Genesis 6 Giants now, that has been the most, I would say, this interesting subject matter that I've written about, judging not only on book sales, but the questions I get continually asked for the last two decades. What I did with Genesis 6, I went back and revised it. I found an ancient manuscript that I had no idea that existed by a gentleman named Woods, talking about the really big giants, like, for instance, the Cyclops, Polyphemus, Polyphemus. Some people pronounce it Polyphemus, but I believe it's Polyphemus. And they thought that was just a fictional account. Well, in Genesis 6 Giants now, I've dedicated over 200 pages to some of the oldest, biggest giants. Most people don't even know that Maximinus, or Maximus, you know, some people pronounce it Maximinius, Maximus. The point being, this guy was 9 feet tall. He basically ate 40 pounds of meat, drank 6 gallons of wine, could outrun chariots, could basically punch a horse and knock it out, literally knock it out and knock its teeth out, kick a horse's hind quarter and break its hip. And this is a guy that was basically a 3-year emperor of Rome. People don't understand that Charlemagne had giants who were in his service that were recorded, now understand, recorded to be 18 feet tall. Well, then I get the skeptic saying, well, that wouldn't happen because of gravity. Listen, if you're an 18-foot tall giant, something happened to your DNA, and again, the normal force of gravity, which is a pressure, is offset by the supernatural element working in that genome. So for the record, giants aren't bound by the same things. I mean, when you're talking about some of these guys that are so big, now 400 feet's pretty tall, okay? People say, I don't believe that. Yet, you know, it's recorded that Roman emperors fought over his bones and that he was found in a mummified version with his elbow actually leaning on a ship that had gone ashore with its on the top of its mast, okay? His supposedly thigh was 120 feet. So where do the Cyclopean legends come from? Where do the Greek myths come from? And it's fascinating.
It's got to be based on things they saw.
They saw, you know, I mean, and they weren't like doing acid in those days, you know, I mean, they weren't basically just writing this stuff. And these are, we're talking Roman emperors. And I think that some of the most amazing stuff to me, now understand, after writing about this stuff for 20 years, then I started to find out, whoa. You know, basically when.
But why, Stephen, is that being kept the secret?
Okay, because again, he who controls the past determines the future. Because they cannot explain the giants in an evolutionary mode except to call it Gigantopithecus, okay? And Gigantopithecus is the name that they call the great ape. But these guys are bigger than great apes. They are thinking individuals. They're smart. They're not like oafs, okay? They're not like Shrek with little, you know, suction cup antennas coming out of their heads. Obviously, some of them are very grotesque, but they're also very, very bright. I mean, the settling of the British Isles, you cannot even deal with the history of the British Isles without finding the Romans fighting the Celtic giants or fighting the berserkers in Germany. 35,000 Roman soldiers were killed in one day by the tribe of giants called berserkers. So when someone says, well, he went berserk, they didn't even know where that term came from. So what I've done is gone back and basically rewritten the Genesis 6 account, and not Genesis, I haven't rewritten the account, but I've taken all of the older data, which is mind-blowing because, quite candidly, George, I missed it. I missed it. I mean, when you talk about Josephus, you know, Antiquity of the Jews, talking about Eliezer, a 10-foot-tall giant, and even, by the way, the chroniclers of Charlemagne claim Charlemagne was 8 feet tall, and then they argue, was he 7, 9, or 8 feet? Well, I got news for you. He was a big dude, but he had guys that were 18 feet tall, and one of them was named, and I think it's pronounced A-E-N-O-T-H-E-U-S, an Anath, I can't pronounce, Anathus or something like that. The point being is that we're talking about individuals that legends related to, that bones indicated. Now, again, going back to Sardinia, a couple months ago in February, I sent a team over there, an expedition. And what we're doing, George, is basically putting together a series of TV programs that'll appear on Tom Horn's Skywatch TV, and then they'll be going to a Roku channel.
Okay.
And I want people to understand this, that because of the nature of the undertaking, I got to kind of sound a little mysterious because, I mean, we have to
You are mysterious.
Pardon?
You are mysterious.
Well, when people's lives are at stake, and again, you know, I've got to watch over because by the grace of God, I don't want anybody to get hurt. And there are people that don't want this stuff out. This is called, by the way, core reality. And the core reality deals with the Giants' ancient history. Now, why do people want to cover it up? The great Smithsonian cover-up, okay, it's simply this. It does not fit into an evolutionary model. Number two, it has to do with supernatural beings called angels. Obviously, people don't believe that, especially in a humanistic world. But now we've got a whole change in science. We've got science going into the spiritual realm, i.e. Kurzweil's book, you know, An Age of Spiritual Machines. We've got Bill Joy's famous treatise, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us Anymore. We're talking about the idea of singularity. We're talking about eternal life. The story on Drudge, the headline, wasn't it? The billionaires are just something about they want to live forever. Well, the point being is that, you know, it goes back to Eden. Ye shall not surely die. So there's nothing more seductive than the promise of eternal life apart from God and basically eternal promiscuity. And by the way, I wrote about this in Xenogenesis. And what these guys are planning for a normal relationship is, I would say this, a transgenic sex-crazed sex bot with multiple orifices and multiple abilities of the sex. In other words, the way that God created mankind wasn't good enough for them. They're trying to create monsters, and that's why I use the subtitle, you know, Turning Men into Monsters.
I hear the Smithsonian has all kinds of bones of giants.
Oh, they have more than that, okay? It's not only the bones. It's the mummified giants that they can extract live DNA from, the molars. Whenever the giants turn up, okay, the biggest mistake that I think those guys on, and forgive me, there was a show on the History Channel about giants, you cannot send a giant molar or extractable DNA to any of the mainstream colleges because they're all bought off. One of my guys had an interesting conversation with a scientist. And he said, you cannot go to any of the mainstream genetic laboratories because we are informed to inform the powers when these artifacts come in or when extractable DNA comes in and they come in and take it. So who would be terrified of the truth? Well, those who seek to control the past want to determine the future. And you've had Tom Horn on your show.
Many times.
And Tom Horn has basically written about this in such a marvelous way that even the Vatican is looking for an alien god. When they name their telescope, one of their primary, infrared telescopes, Lucifer, and give it an acronym. And then Tom explains that interviewed probably some of the most prominent scientists within the Catholic faith. Now, that's not to say all Catholics are looking for an alien savior. But the point is when they're arguing over can aliens be saved, in other words, can aliens accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know that somebody's trying to change the focus. For instance, it's simple. Jesus died for mankind. The scripture doesn't say he died for the fallen angels. It absolutely makes the opposite statement, you know. Scripture says Jesus didn't die for the angels that sinned. So the point is that now look at Christianity. You and I have talked about this. Christianity is under attack like no other time in history. There have been 300,000 Christians slaughtered, martyred, butchered, and beheaded, burned alive, etc., in the Middle East alone. And see, there's this, if you will, there's this absolute spirit coming on the scene. You've asked me about Armageddon, Antichrist. Mm-hmm. You've asked me about the time of the end. And when I say the end times, I'm not talking about the end of the world. I'm talking about the global religion, one world religion, the global monetary, one world money. That's where we're headed right now. You typically, meaning you, George, and I, Steve, usually talk about the economic situation, but things are accelerating, and they're accelerating to the point of vaccines that are absolutely unproven. And if you talk against vaccines, somehow, you know, you incur the wrath of mainstream media. So when have those devils ever told the truth?
They come at you like crazy on that. Tell people, Stephen, not to get vaccinated, to get vaccinated. I simply tell them do what you want to do. I don't get vaccinated.
Yep. Do your homework. Robert F. Kennedy's speaking out against it, and he certainly wouldn't be considered a right-wing, conservative. All you have to do is have a child that has suffered due to vaccines and had the vaccines damage them beyond the point of repair.
Just takes one.
It just takes one, and I'll tell you what, the science behind vaccination, look, mercury is a poison, thimerosal is a poison. The guys that invented the vaccines are on record even laughingly, basically saying, look what we can put all this, and I'll use the word crap in this, inject it into a human body and sell it to the people on the guise of, and what was it, the flu vaccine was 82% ineffective?
That's what the CDC says.
Right, and that's the Center for Disease Creation. So the point is that if they're telling you, hey, it's no good, but take it anyway. See, I think we're so dumbed and numbed that they believe, and unfortunately, I think we give them the ability to believe this, that they can just sell us any bill of goods, shove whatever down our throat in food, basically charge us for the water we drink pretty soon. I'm sure I made the statement, and I'm not kidding, they'll probably make you wear a Darth Vader helmet at some point with a regulator that, counts the amount of breaths you take and charge you for the air you breathe. That's how much these people want.
Well, I mean, look what's happening here in California now, Stephen. Rationing water, basically. You get fined $500 a day if you go over the limit they're going to appropriate for you.
Well, and unfortunately...
That's scary.
Yeah, I used to live in California. I lived in Palos Verdes. I know you guys are there, or you're there, part of the year?
Part of the year.
But the point being is desalinization should have been considered a long time ago.
Yes, and, absolutely.
Listen, obviously California is the country's salad bowl.
They dropped the ball. Somebody dropped the ball.
Well, and I don't believe it's by accident, George. If you look at the rain, I can absolutely see the storm fronts coming in up the coast of California. Then you see the chemtrails go up, and chemical trails, again, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at weather warfare quotes, if you look at the report, We Own the Weather 2025 by the U.S. Air Force, they were just basically putting it off 20 years. They owned it, 20 years ago. So the point being is that whether you have Nick Begich on talking about HARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project, the weather control patents that are out there, 200 plus, and then you've got all the statements by former Secretaries of Defense, National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, Cohen, Defense Secretary Cohen, others talking about weather wars is a way one nation attacks another nation and then blames it on God. So the point being is that California is under severe attack, and now I think even Oregon's starting to have issues with drought also. And then look at Lake Mead and look at...
Oh, they're all going down.
Going down. I mean, it's a bathtub ring, and actually, unfortunately, it's like more like a toilet bowl because, ring around the collar is just tragic. I was down there last year, and I can tell you this, I photographed that. That's the only thing I do to keep,
Oh, yeah, I saw your pictorial, by the way. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it's just, thank you so much. But the thing is that through the desert southwest, you just get down around Lake Powell, and you see literally the erosion marks of the water. And I can compare it to 20 years ago. Actually, you can compare it to 40 years ago. For instance, at the Waheat Marina, And, George, it's, I'm telling you this, and I said this on your show years and years ago. I think you remember this. I said the greatest migration in the history of the United States will take place over water.
We're going to come back with you, Stephen, and talk about end times prophecy next. Okay, next hour we're going to take all your phone calls with Stephen Quayle as we talk about little creatures, giants. And when I come back, I want to get his take on end times prophecy. I've got my own reasons for that, and I'll explain it when I come back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Stephen Quayle with us. Stephen, let's talk about end times prophecy, and of course, we're going to have a zillion calls for you next hour. I have a feeling that whatever's going on this planet might have to do with that, because people are uptight, they're strange. I talked about it in the first hour. Is it tied into, in your opinion, end times prophecy?
Well, absolutely. I think that everything that we're seeing now has been detailed. You know, it's funny, George, because the national press or international press uses more biblical terms. They use biblical terms to determine and define the times, although they want to make sure they deny, you know, the God who wrote the book of Revelation. And I think it's fascinating. Number one, the persecution that's coming upon Christians is absolutely directly related to the Antichrist and Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8 talks about literally the entity that arises in the last days that makes war on God's people. And I think that one of the most telling, series of events that's happening is, let's just take the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I think you and I have touched briefly on that in the past. War, famine, pestilence. We're seeing all those things. And what's fascinating is the pale horse of the book of Revelation comes from the Greek word for chloros, or that is the Greek word from which we get the word chlorophyll. So the pale horse is fascinating because you're talking about green. And if you see the green movement, if you see the green being the color of radical Islam, and I think that what people have got to understand is this, is that wars and rumors of wars are going to take place until the big war. Now, here's my take on the prophetic significance of the time where we're at. In order to bring about the Antichrist, and Antichrist, you know, people use that word, but Antichrist means take the place of Jesus Christ. Jesus said he came and they received him not, but another will come claiming to be the Christ, and him you're going to receive, talking to the people of the earth. So the point being is that now we've got a war brewing in the Middle East. Look at all the countries that have been overthrown, obviously Iraq, obviously Libya. We're trying to overthrow Syria, the whole thing with Lebanon, the war in the Middle East brewing, pretty much is going to be in fulfillment of Islamic theology that says before the Iman Mahdi can come on the scene, there must be a global nuclear conflagration. And so that's what's being set up there. The Bible talks about the time when no man will be able to buy, sell, or trade except he have the mark. And people will argue over what the mark of the beast is. Well, the nice thing is that contrary to what most people want to argue over, we're moving towards a cashless society. We're moving to all forms of biometric identification. We're moving to the time where the Bible literally says, who is able to make war against the beast? And the point being is that with every form of drone, from insects to blimps, with every form of biometric identification, from palm scans to implanted RFID chips to retina scans to vein scans to your thermal signature, most people don't know this. And I think it was Frank Dukes, the secret man, who was Bill Casey's former head of the CIA's, man that went out and fixed problems. I interviewed him years ago, George, and he made the statement that every person has a unique thermal signature, kind of like the movie Predator, you know, in the color, and that can be delineated from outer space. Now, that was 15, 20 years ago. So we're coming into what I would call the biggest reign of terror and a global mind, if you will, a hive. And it's interesting, by the way, when you talk about giants that are in stasis, they call that a hive, H-I-V-E. That's what the special forces call that. And while we're on the air, I just got contacted by a guy who was in special forces in that whole realm, and he wants me to contact him in England. So I'll do that in the morning if you're listening. But the point is,
might have good information for you.
Yeah, really good information. But we are in the biblical time now where if you look at everything that's going on, we've got famine, we've got drought, we've got disease. Now, here's how it goes real simply. When you have a drought, it produces famine. When you have a famine, I'm talking on a global scale, you have disease. And now we've got a bunch of people creating mutagenic viruses. They create them, then they patent the vaccine, and then basically they create the thing that's going to kill you, And then basically they create the antidote, if you will, or the vaccine to keep you alive long enough to clean your pockets. It's kind of like the American Medical Association and you know, all of the real treatments are always suppressed for cancer in lieu of, you know, some of the cancer treatment. Chemotherapy is what? Up to $100,000 for a bag of, you know, chemicals?
Smart business, huh?
Yeah, big business. Death is the order of the day, okay? And death followed after. So the point that I'm trying to make right now is we are living in the most expressed, visible, absolutely astonishing time in history. Everybody from the past thought they were living in the end days. Obviously, World War I, World War II, Korea, the war to end all wars. Well, it didn't end all wars. And it simply wasn't time. Now with the technology, and look what's happened in America. We've got 93 to 97 million people unemployed, the death of the middle class, and I mean the middle class of death. The home ownership in this country has gone to foreign buying groups, sovereign wealth funds, and Americans are now tenants, and that's a prophecy in Deuteronomy. Strangers from without will possess you from within. In other words, our country has been sold out, sold off, and basically sold down the drain. And people think that that's a harsh statement. Well, let me share this. It's a real statement. You know, unfortunately, virtual reality isn't what kills you. Real reality is what kills you. But by keeping people confused, if you will, preconditioned and pre-programmed in a virtual world, people simply won't see what's going on in the real world. So I believe we are seeing every single plague now at the beginning that was listed in the book of Revelation and the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and we are going to see a global mind, if you will, a global government, and it's going to have no room for people that use the word freedom and liberty. Unless you get assimilated in the Borg, they simply want to kill you, which means then, and you've been watching Jade Helm, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of brouhaha around the country over a military exercise that's going to take place for 2 months, and it's going to take place at night, and all special forces in the United States are going to be incorporated and called the human domain. Now, that sounds a little ominous, the human domain.
Well, and we know what has happened when they've done exercises before. The real thing happens.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the point being, I hope people will pay attention to this. Why would they notify the police not to respond to gunfire? Why would they claim that? See, here's what's happened in the United States. America's citizenry has been declared the enemy, while America's enemies have been given carte blanche. And for instance, you've seen that there are 49 terrorist camps known in the United States. Not one of them has ever been busted or raided by the FBI. Yet if you're a veteran, your guns are taken away, you're denied your medical benefits, and I am opposed to the way the veterans are treated in this country. You and I have talked about that. The point being is now is that we're seeing foreign troops in this country, and I don't think people get it, because the United Nations is the UN peacekeeping force. When you get on the Security Council, you've got Russia and China. I was a student of the Cold War. I wrote a book about it called Nuclear War and Nuclear Weapons Effects, Nuclear War and Weapons Effect 30 years ago. And the point is now we've got complete, if you will, in-your-face movement of troops, unparalleled. Even during the Cuban Missile Crisis, there were not the events taking place right now. We've had the state-of-the-art missile cruiser, Donald Cook, shut down by a MiG-25 using a form of electronic warfare and warfare countermeasures. We've had a nuclear sub forced to surface. We've got the situation that has taken place where basically the Russians have forced an aircraft carrier into port. They've openly declared and defined their new technology and said there's nothing like it. And then I think you and I did a show years ago when Igor Panin, P-A-N-I-N, or Paninin, a Russian, said the breakup of the United States would take place by 2010. He was off by a few years, but his reasons for making that statement are in effect. So we've got now, and no one can deny the drought. If you look at the drought in California, You know, you just mentioned that they're going to monitor your water, $500 fine.
Yep.
But again, the thing is that your housing market is one of the, and when I say yours, because you live in California, the California housing market is one of the hottest areas in the country. But what's $1 billion set of properties worth when there's no water? The answer is nobody wants it if there's no water.
Nobody at all wants it.
And where do you grow, and where do you get your wine? I mean, obviously, anybody who's ever been the Sonoma, the wine country of, you know, California, what a beautiful, beautiful country of vineyards and productivity. Yet, where's the wine? I had a lady who listens to your show call me, and she owns a rather large ranch property. She's probably listening now. Her water rights were worth, I mean, seriously, the land was worth, I think, $10-12 million. Her water rights were worth $50 million.
Wow.
So, and she asked me, should she sell or not? And I said, well, do you want to be there? If you can get money for the water you have now, why don't you go to some place where they have a lot of water, and then you never have to worry about getting thirsty, and you go with $50 million in your pocket.
That exactly. Well, that's great advice.
So I think that what we're seeing now is a full integration. I think we are in the end times. I think we have started there. People will argue, Christians will argue, are we in the Great Tribulation? Are we in the period leading to the Great Tribulation? All I can tell you this is 300,000 Christians that have been martyred probably wouldn't be so concerned with are they in it or not, because they're fleeing for their lives, and they're fighting for their lives. And obviously, we have a problem in this country now where American citizens are being displaced. Look, I'm all for, you know, anybody can come to this country as long as they come legally. But what's happening is when Ross Perot said that giant sucking sound is American jobs going overseas, you know, and you know why Ross Perot got out of the presidential race? Because he was threatened, okay? And he not only he was threatened, but his family was threatened. So politics is dirty pool. And years ago, George, one of the statements I made, I said, you can watch the power shift. This was 25 years ago, from the West to the East, because I said, what's better than 100 million Americans with credit cards? 1 billion Chinese with credit
That's
cards.
That's right. Lots of money going on there, Stephen. What about
Lots
the Antichrist? What about the Antichrist?
Well, the Antichrist, I believe, will come on the scene. How you'll know the Antichrist is in the book of Revelation, it talks about God sends two witnesses. Those two witnesses are here during the time of Antichrist. Antichrist makes war on God's people, and the two witnesses, and I believe they are literal people. Obviously, there's only two people in history that have not died, okay? One of them's Enoch, who wrote the book of Enoch, that, by the way, is what I'd recommend everybody read. We don't have a whole book of Enoch, but they can go to my website, Genesis6Giants.com, ancient manuscripts. It's there free. That's all there is what I have on my website, the book of Giants. But the point being is those two witnesses will have the power to literally call down fire from heaven, as so will the Antichrist. So when the Antichrist shows up on the scene, there will be two men. And again, the two men that haven't died are Enoch and Elijah. Elijah was taken away in a flaming chariot. That's where that song came from, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, okay?
Yep.
And that's the only two people. Now, the Bible says, and again, I'm using that as my reference, but I don't believe the Bible, people say. I said, well, you don't have to believe the Bible, but you better believe the headlines, because they were written in the Bible 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelation. The point being is that Enoch and Elijah come back on the scene. The Bible says it's given man once to die and once a judgment. The only two men in history that have never died, that the Bible records, have never died. So the point being is when two guys show up, they will literally have all the power of Moses and all the power of Elijah. The original Elijah will be back, and they'll be telling everybody, this is not he who that he claims to be, but he's going to declare himself God. And if you see this, I'll give you a United Nations statement. I think it was Robert Mueller, or no, I'm sorry, it wasn't Robert Mueller, but it was a spokesman for the UN that said, give us a man who will give us peace, and be he a god or be he a devil, we will worship him. And so, you know, they're going to get the devil. The devil's going to say he's God. People are going to worship him, and the people that are saying he isn't God, you know, those people will be put to death. And Daniel 8 talks about him being able to make war on the saints and upon the holy people, and he's going to be successful. So the martyrdom that we are seeing now, George, is the start of a very horrific and horrible time period that's coming upon the whole world. And the world's silent. The world is silent. The president's silent. He can go to a prayer breakfast and knock Christians, but he sure can't speak out against the slaughter of all the Christians. Now, look, that's not a political statement. That is a statement of awareness. And the point that people have got to understand is that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And I remember when everybody was an American, not a this American, not a that American, not something in front of the word American, but we're Americans. And the point being is our uniqueness in the world now is being lost. And, you know, when somebody said America's the greatest nation in the world, we intend to change all that, they certainly have for the worse. We have become a hissing sound in the nostrils of the nations around us. As point, people say, I don't believe that. Everybody has run to join China's AIIB, their investment bank. China will back the yuan or the renminbi, both names for the same currency, you know, with gold. When I said that 20 years ago,
and they've secretly been buying it up like crazy.
They've been buying up 30,000 metric tons. It's worth, I think, about $1.4 trillion right now. When gold finally jumps, and it will jump, if it jumps to five times its value, then they've got $7 trillion worth of yuan or in gold. And by the way, gold is rising in every currency of the world except the United States. The United States is the only one in the world that will allow you to have a naked short and sell something you do not possess that does not even exist at a loss. In other words, the gold is oversold. We've got the greatest gold deficit in the history of the world. We've got the greatest silver deficit. And there's a statement in monetary history.
Silver should be $40 an ounce, shouldn't it?
Pardon?
Silver should be $40 an ounce right about now.
Yeah, and on a 16-to-1 ratio, it should be higher than that. It should be closer to $100 an ounce.
Wow.
So the point is that why do they keep it down? Because whenever you control the money, you control the people. That's why the rest of the world, I salute China's wisdom. They have stealthily, they have absolutely been brilliant in their acquisition of gold. Russia's doing the same thing. India just took off part of its tariff on gold. Look, when you've got the BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, China, basically forming the AII bank, you know, and you've got the former allies, the United States, running to that bank, the jig is up on the American dollar. And by the way, it was one of the spokesmen for this administration, I think in the second year of Obama's reign, that made the statement, the American dollar, we intend to destroy the American dollar. Well, I submit to you, the American dollar is being destroyed. So now the point being is that everybody wants to move to a cashless society, and Russia and China will withstand. The Bible says, getting back to your question originally to me, the Bible says that even though the world will come under the control of Antichrist, the kings of the East will rise up to resist him.
Stephen, we're going to come back. I'm sorry to cut you short, but we've got to hit the break. But we'll come back with more and then phone calls next.